Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. I noticed recently that we had a good spike of new listeners. And so thanks for joining us and being a part of the podcast. I do hope that you'll kind of catch up and get some of these episodes in context. I do think, Caleb, that's one of the best ways to understand your Bible is to make sure that you're reading it in context.
Yeah. Yeah. Context is king. And by getting it in the context, even with this story of Nehemiah, as you've mentioned before in previous podcasts, it just lays the groundwork for the next chapter, the next sequence of events. Because now everything we've learned in chapters 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, we're seeing those things even play into our understanding of chapters 11, 12, 13.
And as you study one book of the Bible, in essence, you're studying every book of the Bible in this respect. That is, the Bible is interrelated. We're to view the Bible harmonistically. So all knowledge feeds all knowledge. Mm-hmm. So as you study the book of Nehemiah, you're learning something about the time frame. And so in learning about the time frame, you're learning about the ministry of Ezra. Mm-hmm. You're learning about the ministry of Esther. You're learning about events like the Babylonian captivity, where that fits with Nehemiah. You're learning about prophets like Malachi. All of it comes together. And so, my friends, the more you study the Bible, the more the Bible will, it's like it's exponential. Mm-hmm. You're not adding, but it's like compound interest. It's growing exponentially. And so I applaud you, friends, for listening in, because I know that many of you do this podcast not as your daily Bible reading or study, but in addition to. Mm-hmm. And that means a lot. Not to say that if this is what you do as you're reading that you're wrong. I think that's good too. But I'm just saying that some of you do this supplementally, and that's a great thing as well. We've been in chapter 13 talking about how Nehemiah is upset. He's come back after some time. He's discovering that the covenant, and specifically the applications that the people made back in 10, 11, and 12 are applications that have gone by the wayside. So he's dealt with their worship. They have allowed the Ammonites and the Moabites, the mixed multitude, to mitigate their worship, even making a special place for Tobiah, the critic. Mm-hmm. Putting up with critics in the heart of ministry, that's not a good thing to do. And Nehemiah's expelled them. They've stopped their responsibility of giving. Nehemiah's reminded them that that's wrong. So all of these things are being cared for, and all of them have to do with the worship. So worship is the first thing he dealt with. And now we're in Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 15, where he deals with that second area to which they had separated themselves, and that is their work, their honoring of God in the Sabbath. So they were to work 6 days, mm-hmm. as God did on the creation week, and rest the Sabbath, the Sabbath day, a day of holy rest, to recognize God, to rest from labor, to dwell upon what God had provided, all of that. Yeah. And watch what they had done. Look at verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves, lading their donkeys, as also wine, grapes, figs, all manner of burdens, which they brought unto Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. So they're violating the Sabbath day by just treating it like any other day. Mm-hmm. Hey, grocery store's open. Right. We're just going to work. This is not a holy day. And I understand, as New Testament Christians, we're not obligated to the Sabbath. And I do think there are some principles perhaps we ought to apply to Sunday, but not legalistically. But the point is, they were under Sabbath.
Exactly.
And this was a huge deal, and they had recommitted to it, and they were violating it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a tough task that he is taking on, because it's become a popular thing. And he's going to take it, and he's going to hit people where it hurts. He's going to hit them with money.
Right.
With their takings, with their earnings. And but yet again, we see
on both sides, Caleb, because last episode, hey, you're not giving, so start giving.
Right.
On this episode, you're making money.
Yeah, stop making
money on this day,
uh-huh,
or spending. You know, it's kind of like I'm shutting down the mall.
Yeah.
Well, it gets worse than that, because it says in verse 16, there dwelt men of Tyre. So, hey, business is good. Economy's booming, and they have some of these visiting, traveling salesmen that are there. They're bringing their fish, all manner of ware. They're selling on the Sabbath day unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. So not only are the people themselves violating the Sabbath day, but now, hey, other nations are taking advantage of the economic prosperity of a rebuilt Jerusalem. And the people that have moved there, remember, they've repopulated Jerusalem, so more people are there, a greater opportunity for buying and selling. It reminds me a lot of James chapter 4, where James says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what should be on the morrow, what's your life? You know, the same. You find that the frustration of James in James 4 is the frustration of Nehemiah to say, guys, it's about honoring God and seeing your life in terms of your responsibility to Him and not about your business and your making money. You got 6 days to do that.
Yeah.
Watch what happens here in verse 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah.
Again, going to the leadership.
Going right to the leadership, because they're responsible. And saying, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Even though they weren't the only ones doing it, he's holding them responsible because they were permitting it. And there's a responsibility in what we give permission to.
Hmm.
That's a heavy thought for a dad.
Right.
You know, or a pastor in that sense. Look at verse 18. Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? So he points all the way back to prior to the exile, the days of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah was saying the exact same thing. Guys, don't dishonor God. Put God first. And remember, part of the reason why the Babylonian captivity was 70 years was because they had violated all of those years of Sabbath. And God was, in essence, saying, I'm gonna get back all my Sabbath at one time. And so for 70 years, they went in captivity.
Right.
And Nehemiah's basically just saying, guys, you're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
You are repeating history. I feel like I'm Jeremiah lived 200 years before Nehemiah, even more. And he's testifying these exact same things. Verse 19, and it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I just love Nehemiah because he's a man of action. He's a man of practicality. So he tells the people, you're wrong. He tells the nobles, what are you thinking? He reminds everybody, we did this before 200 years ago. It didn't work out well for us. But then Nehemiah, he doesn't just stop with a sermon.
Mm-hmm.
He shuts the gates. Watch this. I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. Some of my servants set eye at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So Nehemiah says, I'm not taking any chances.
Yeah.
Okay, guess what? You guys can't handle this. I'm locking the gates. I'm putting my servants by the gates. No one's going out. No one's coming in. You're not going to do this on the Sabbath day.
Right. Yeah, talking about some enforcement to his law.
And that's a great principle, just the way you just said it, enforcement. You know, when we violate God's law, we don't gain liberty. We lose liberty.
Mm.
So they had liberty. those gates were open on the Sabbath day. They could go out and come in. Obviously, there were certain distances they could travel, but there was some liberty. But as we sin and violate God's law, we then have to be put under greater watch. You know, the kid that disobeys, the teenager that rebels, he's thinking, I'm gaining freedom.
Yeah.
But really what he's doing is losing freedom.
Right. When he's grounded, he's not looking at it the same way.
Because what you're doing is you're causing a good leader to have to put in higher rules or higher standards to curb your behavior, which should have been curbed simply by understanding who God is and what his law says.
Yeah.
So verse 20, so the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. So Nehemiah does all of this preaching, all of this rebuking, and even shuts the gates and puts guards at the gates, but it didn't stop these visiting salesmen from what they were doing. They camped out outside the gate, maybe hoping someone's going to sneak through or they're going to get, you know, first business on the next morning or whatever. But they are not giving up easily.
Mm-hmm.
So how does Nehemiah deal with that? Read verse 21, if you would.
Verse 21, then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath.
You have got to love Nehemiah.
Yeah. If you do it again, I'm going to physically remove you from the wall.
Yeah. Don't make me come back there.
Right.
That's the dad looking in the back seat, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, give
He's
that
like,
look.
If you guys don't break camp and get outside of here, I'm going to come down there and deal with you myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I don't know if Nehemiah, I don't, did he have some moves? Was he like a little MMA? I don't know what, but you got to love the fact that don't mess with this guy.
Yeah.
And then the verse that we pointed out, we'll close with this, Caleb, verse 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that, I got to turn the page here, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. And then what we pointed out last episode, remember me, O my God, concerning this also, spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. So Nehemiah said, listen, it's not that I've got my act together. I know we all need God's mercy, that we all tend to shrink back at times. But Nehemiah said, but God, I'm doing this for you.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I want people to honor you, not only in their worship, verses 1 through 14, but in their work, verses 15 through 22, that every part of our life would be a demonstration that we know who God is, we know what God's word says, and we want our lives to be in complete obedience to all of it.
Right.
So what a great teaching for us today. You know, many of you are going to work right now. And my challenge to you would be honor God at your work. Put him first. Let it be seen in the way you worship. That would be your church experience to make that application, and let him be honored in your work. And now next episode, I think it'll be our last one, Caleb.
Yeah.
Next episode, we'll talk about the last area that needed to be shored up in their lives. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.